I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you ready to let your fingers do the walking tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Amen. And Paul is sharing here with the church, and in verse 13, he makes this statement. He says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak." So we have the same spirit of faith as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, David, Esther, Ruth. You know, we have the same spirit of faith as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We even have the same spirit of faith as Jesus. We having the same spirit of faith. We have like precious faith, Peter calls it. And faith is something. It's a wonderful heritage to share in. If you want to leave a heritage for your family, leave them a heritage of faith. Amen? It transcends generations. And with faith, you can accomplish anything for God. If you have nothing but faith, that's all you need. Amen? Because the just shall live by faith, right? We walk by faith and not by sight, right? Faith pleases God. So if you have faith, and guess what? We all have faith because he's given to us a measure of faith. And what you do with your measure, amen, will determine whether or not you get the treasure. You got to do something with your measure to get the treasure. From my old rapping days, it comes out every once in a while. And we've been looking at Abraham, and I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came on this Wednesday. I want to thank everyone who came out tonight for our evangelism training. Les did an awesome job. Hallelujah. Of course, he's an ordained minister now, and Julie's licensed, so they're becoming more and more dangerous for the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're happy to have them as part of our team. They do a fantastic job. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 8. You know, we're going to look at three places in Scripture where the Bible specifically talks about the faith of Abraham in the New Testament. And I thought about this. You know the story of the beggar and Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus was a beggar. He sat at the gate of the rich man. It's in Luke 16. We're not going to turn there. But, you know, Abraham's faith made such a difference that it was Abraham's bosom that people were put into before Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. So there's something about the faith of Abraham, and we're spending a lot of time on Abraham because he's the father of it all. God established his covenant with him, and his covenant is still in operation today. It's still in effect. All right? Verse 8, by faith, everybody say by faith. Okay, what did Abraham do by faith when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance? Obeyed. Say he obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going or where he went. By faith, say by faith. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Say the same promise. Okay? He left a heritage of faith. And he established his faith for three generations. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And when you establish something for three generations, it's going to go on forever. Amen? Three is just a number of God. And so he did all this by faith. Now notice, everywhere he went, faith was with him. As a matter of fact, faith was the vehicle that caused him to wander in the wilderness and to set up his tent wherever God said set up. He did that by faith. He was camping by faith. Amen? He was traveling through the wilderness, through the desert, by faith. And little did he know that every place that he traveled was going to be his. Think about that. Think about where you've been. It's a possession for you. While you're going on your journey with God, he's got places for you to possess. And he's got to put you in a place in order for you to possess it. He wants you to possess his promises. Okay? So by faith he sojourned. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. How do you look for a city which God built? Well, that's just, you know, he was looking for God's habitation. He dwelt wherever God told him to dwell. He went wherever God told him to go. Matter of fact, he didn't know where he was going until he started to go. You know, I found out working in a car dealership, it was a lot easier to move the cars in the showroom when they were moving versus standing still. It's a lot harder to turn the wheel when the car is moving. It's easier, I should say. It's easier to turn the wheel of a car when it's moving versus when it's standing still. It's a lot harder to turn when the car is standing still, but when it's moving, it's easier to maneuver that car. See, so Abraham, he had to be moving, and while he was moving, he kept trusting God where he was going to go, where he was going to stay. He didn't worry about the place where he was going to end up because he knew. Now look at verse 11. Through faith, say through faith. Also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. What did she receive? She received strength to conceive when it was physically impossible. How did she get that strength? She judged him faithful. In other words, you know, when God first spoke to her, and we're going to look at that maybe, what was her response when God said, you're going to have a baby? She laughed, okay? She didn't believe it upon the initial hearing of it, all right? In other words, she was parked out in the parking lot. The arena of faith was here, but she was in the parking lot. She hadn't gotten into the arena yet. Well, how did she get into the arena of faith? She began to look at how faithful God was when they left Haran, how faithful he was when they were in Egypt, how faithful he was when they were out in the wilderness, how faithful. She began to consider how faithful he was here, here, and here, and so she knew that he was going to be faithful there. And in doing that, she received strength to conceive. And God supernaturally put a new womb in her that was able to bear a child. I mean, think about it. She was in her 90s. But it was through faith that all occurred. And verse 12, and it was because of his promises. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So guess what? We're part of the family that God promised to give to Abraham. That's how powerful faith is. All right? Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 14. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. Okay? And let's go down to verse 26. It says, for you are all the children of God by what? By faith in who? Yep. If you try to put your faith in any other thing than Christ Jesus to become a child of God, you're going to fall short. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Once again, we're connected with Abraham's faith. Okay? Let's go down to verse 6. Okay, same chapter, Galatians 3. He said, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So what does it take to be a child of Abraham? Faith. Putting your trust in Jesus Christ. Resting on God's promises. Living according to his word. Acting on the word. When Abraham was told to go, what did he do? He went. When he was told to give his only son, what did he do? He gave. All right? And it was that faith that he operated in, that it was accounted to him or credited to him. He received a credit from heaven of righteousness. Righteousness was deposited into his account because of his faith. He made a faith deposit, and as a result, he got a righteousness in return. Okay? And then verse 11 tells us, the last part of that verse says, the just shall live by faith. Did Abraham live by faith? Absolutely. Now, do you remember anything about Abraham? Was he did he live on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley? Or was he doing pretty good? Say, when you live by faith, you'll do good. You'll come out on top. You'll be an overcomer. You'll be a champion. But you got to live by faith. You got to align yourself with the Word of God. You've got to align your words with the Word of God. You can't live by faith and speak negative. It doesn't work. That's like trying to turn on a lamp that's not plugged in. Trying to start a car without the key. Some may be able to do that, but it's illegal. And then let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Why am I reading these passages? Because three times in the New Testament, God dedicated a good amount of information about Abraham's faith. Okay? What are we talking about? Honoring our heritage of faith. And how are we doing that? We're looking at the person who lived by faith. Okay, Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 14, Romans 4:14. For if they which are of the law, of the law means you put your faith in the law, in the commandments, okay? Be heirs, faith is made void. It doesn't take faith to live by the law. All right? So if you're of the law and you're an heir, faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect. Can you think of any group that Jesus encountered that lived by the law? Pharisees, Sadducees. You know why they were called Sadducees? They didn't believe in the resurrection and they were sad, you see. Now, those were a group of people that lived by the law. And they lived by the law so well that they became self-righteous. But yet they gave Jesus the hardest time because it doesn't take any faith to live by the law. Matter of fact, they even told Jesus, they said, we are of our father Abraham. He said, no, you're not. You're of your father the devil. They were legalistic. They criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. Where is their compassion for the person that got healed or the miracle that God performed? They totally didn't even see that. All they saw was, this was the Sabbath. You can't do anything on the Sabbath. Oh, really? Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I can do anything I want on the Sabbath. Watch me. And he did. He healed people on the Sabbath just to get under their skin. He was showing them that you can't live by the law. It's by grace through faith. Okay? So faith activates the promise. Why isn't this working for me? Well, when you come to me like that, I know the problem right away. You're not living by faith. Why is this working for me? Faith works. But if you believe that it's not working, you're not in faith. Faith doesn't work by whining. It doesn't work by complaining. Faith doesn't work by nagging. It works by believing God's word. Amen? When you come into agreement with God's word, it will work for you every time. Every time. Okay? Verse 15, because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say, Abraham's my father. What does that mean? It simply means he is an example of faith. He chose to believe God. And because he believed God, God established an eternal covenant with Abraham. Was Abraham perfect? No. Sometimes he was scared. He would tell his wife, tell him you're my sister so that we don't get in trouble. There were times that he was weak when Sarah said, here, have my maid. He said, okay. He didn't even put up a fight. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. Look at verse 17. As it is written, you know, if you're going to be in faith, you're going to have to do it as it is written. In other words, you're going to have to know the word, because How does faith get produced in you? Blank comes by what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word. Hearing yourself say the word will produce quicker and stronger faith in you than you hearing someone else say the word. One thing that stands out about the woman with the issue of blood, she said herself. And basically, she set the terms of how she was going to receive her miracle. She said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And we know that she was in faith because she did exactly what she said. What she said and what she did lined up with God's word. What's God's will? He wants you whole, healed, 100% operating capacity. Amen? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Before Abraham ever had a child, he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. He called those things that be not as though they were. Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. When he was hiding in fear, he called him a mighty man of valor. He looks at you and says, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. You're the apple of my eye. See, we have to see ourselves as Christ sees us. Notice, Abraham was made into a father of many nations. He went through a process. And there were times when he threw a wrench in the process. And he delayed his blessing, but he couldn't stop it. Amen? Thank God, that's grace right there. That's grace and mercy in operation in Abraham's life, because through all of his mistakes, all of his shortcomings, he still managed to believe God and receive a miracle. That frees me up. I don't have to be perfect to be in faith. Hallelujah! It's just the raw of believing God, trusting in him, no matter what. Putting your faith on the line. Can you imagine Sarah, after she had gone through menopause, now she was going through the phases of what it takes to have a baby? Think about it. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was what? Oh, see, that's how the spirit of faith operates. We having the same spirit of faith, according to his word, as I believed, I spoke. Huh. He didn't have anything else to give him strength to produce a seed other than God's word. That's all that he had, and guess what? That's enough. You don't need anything else. And being not weak in faith, verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead. If you're believing for healing, don't consider your body. He didn't consider his body. Don't consider your pocketbook. If you look in your pocketbook and there's nothing there, don't consider your pocketbook. Don't talk about the nothing. Talk about God. Talk about how good God is and how he wants you blessed and how he takes care of you, how he meets your need. You can choose to talk about the emptiness of your pocketbook, but that's not going to put anything in there. You could talk about the pain in your body, but that's not going to bring healing. You could talk about how messed up this part of your life is or that part of your life is, but that's not going to bring any change. So you might as well just get in agreement with the word and speak what the word says, because that's what faith is. He did not consider his own body that was dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. He didn't think about it. But I bet that there were times when the deadness of his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb spoke to both of them. But they didn't speak to the hand, body. I'm not listening to you. That's what he did. He was not weak in faith. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You want to strengthen your faith? Get in praise. Give glory to God. Look to God. Lift up your hands and praise. That strengthens your faith. He gave glory to God. Every time his body would speak, he wouldn't consider what his body said. He would consider what God said. He would start calling himself, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. That means father of many nations. Every time he introduced himself as Abraham, he was telling people, I'm a father of many nations. Who gave him that name? He was speaking the same thing that God spoke over him. If you have a sickness, you can call yourself one of two things. You can call yourself the sick, or you can call yourself the healed. You can call yourself depressed, or you can call yourself the joyful. The joy of who is my strength? Oh, so it didn't say the joy of my circumstance, did it? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of my circumstance, not the joy of my life, the joy of the Lord. So there's a joy that comes from the Lord that is separate from the happiness that we would experience on this earth. There is a joy that comes from God. Now, if God gives you joy, that means the world can't take it away because it didn't come from the world. That's good news. He didn't stagger at the promise. Verse 21, this is another characteristic of faith. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. How persuaded was he? Fully. He was convinced. He was persuaded. You couldn't change his mind. You couldn't get him to stop calling himself a father of many nations. He wouldn't stop calling himself that until he had a son. Who had sons, who had sons, who had sons and daughters, who had sons and daughters. And here we are today, still part of that family. How many people do you think have operated in faith since the beginning of time? Or since Abraham's day? How many people do you think have came on this earth, believed God, and went on? Those are part of Abraham's family. That's a powerful promise that affected the whole world. And in this state, when he was fully persuaded, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, verse 24, but for us also. Say, for me too. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Notice, it's conditional. The condition is if you believe. How do we know that you believe? Because your words and your actions will agree with what he said. If there's any disagreement with what he said, you're not in faith. I know that that's hard, but that's the truth. Let's go back to Genesis in these last few minutes. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to give you a little test. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah Abram's wife bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, who was talking? Sarah. Behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Was that true? No, it wasn't the Lord. Because, matter of fact, the Lord had promised Abraham. And at that time, when he gave Abram the promise, he was married to Sarah. The Lord has restrained me from bearing, I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. What is missing in that proposition? The voice of God. This was contrary to what God had spoken to Abraham, because it's God's desire for a husband and a wife. But in this moment of weakness, he hearkened to another voice. He didn't even resist it. He didn't even correct it. He just said, okay. And from this moment, strife was brought into the relationship, because there was strife between Sarah and Hagar. Because after Hagar bore, Hagar was mocking her Sarah. There was strife because he hearkened unto another voice other than God. And guess what? Did that cause a problem? Yes, it did. But was it a problem too big that God couldn't do anything about? No, it's not. Yes, it created a problem. He went against God's plan, and he did it himself. He hearkened unto another voice, a natural voice. Okay? God had been speaking to him at different points in his life. You can read from Genesis 12 to Genesis 15. Go back to Genesis 15 now. All right? And look at what he says in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house, this is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him out forth abroad. He said, look up. Tell of the stars, if you're able to number them, and so shall your seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So there was nothing in God's plan about getting together with an Egyptian. But see, here's what happens. Satan is out to steal the word. According to Mark 4, the parable of the sower, the Bible says when the seed is sown, Satan comes immediately to try to steal the word. In Genesis 15, he had a word from God. He was struggling. He was looking at the childlessness. He was looking at the empty family. And he said, God, what are you going to give me, seeing I go childless? He was not looking to the Lord. He was looking to a circumstance. His eyes were focused on what he didn't have. Then the Lord spoke to him. He gave him faith, and he took him outside, and he had to change his perspective. So he looked up. Okay, he got his eyes off of his circumstance. This is why he should have resisted Sarah's proposition. He should have said, no, Sarah, that's not the way God's going to do it. Same thing Adam did. Same thing you and I would have done. Come on now. We've done things knowing that we shouldn't have done them, but done them anyway. But I want you to point out that Satan was trying to steal the word that God spoke to him in Genesis 15. And the way he stole it was by giving him an alternative. Giving him a temptation. Now, how come when Potiphar's wife came to Joseph and she wanted to seduce him, he ran away. He said, no, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to commit this sin against God. So it's possible to say no, isn't it? And that hindered his faith. And that caused some problems, but the problems weren't too big that God couldn't work around. They still had Ishmael. And we know that when Isaac was born, Ishmael was about 12, and he kept mocking. The natural was mocking the spiritual. Ishmael mocked Isaac, and that ticked Sarah off. And that's when she really got dealt the hard hand to Hagar. You don't mess with my boy. But we got to look at this faith. See, faith is only from God. And so when the devil tries to give you another voice, say no. Now that voice could come through a friend, a family member. Your circumstance could speak to you. You ever have your circumstance speak to you? And you start getting, your circumstance says, oh, you're no good. You're never going to get that. And you start saying, oh, yeah, you're right. I'm never going to get that. I'm never going to amount to anything. See, now Satan has got you now in the position to steal the word that God gave you. You know, sometimes we forget that faith is a fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, profess a good profession before many witnesses. Now, I know that Jesus never fought, did he? Oh, yeah, he was fighting all the time. All the time, the Pharisees, the legalism was fighting against faith. But we have the same spirit of faith. And Abraham got things turned around. And he believed God. In spite of all the things that he did wrong, he hung in there. So if you just get stubborn enough to hang in there and refuse to quit, be like that lady who went to the judge and she kept knocking on the judge's door. She kept knocking on the judge's door. And the Bible said, because of her continual knocking, she's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to give her what she wants. See, that's how you got to be about faith. You got to be relentless. You got to persevere. You got to keep at it. You got to keep at it. You got to keep resisting. Faith can never take a day off. Oh, I'm sorry. This is my faith's day off. It doesn't work that way. Satan doesn't take a day off. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word." Didn't say that if you go for a little while and take a few days off. He didn't say that. He said, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I went in a couple different directions tonight, but I feel like that's how the Lord wanted to take us. So say this with me. Say, I am a believer. I am a child of God by faith. My faith works. Faith in God always works. I serve a faithful God. He's always on time. He never lets me down. He takes good care of me. And by faith, I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm victorious. I'm well taken care of. Nothing moves me but what God said in His Word and what the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. And give a little. You got to be as tenacious as a bulldog with a steak bone. Amen? So I hope that you are refreshed tonight. And I hope your faith is refreshed. And it's built up. It's ready to take on the challenges of life. This stuff will work. It worked for Abraham, and it'll work for us. Why? Because we have the same spirit of faith. Amen? God bless you. Have a great evening.